Welcome to UberCube, the podcast where we discuss all things cube, but with refreshments. This is your host, Anthony Adams, a.k.a. UberBear, and I'm joined by my other host this evening.
Hey, this is Stu, and thank you for joining us. Hope you enjoy the show.
All right, so we have a... I guess it's a PSA episode. This cube community is growing, and it's growing rapidly, yes, right? And times are changing. And as it grows, we thought it best, we felt it important to do a little bit of housekeeping here at UberCube, right?
Exactly.
So the things that we're going to talk about this evening are conversations that we have had within our own play space, our group. Even this last evening, we talked about the things that we're going to talk about. And it's going to kind of lean towards the... cube courtesy
etiquette
of the cube world, right? Mm-hmm. Because this is a new idea and there's no boundaries. It's expansive. We're growing a community. It's getting fast.
Yes,
it's spreading to LGSs. It's going outside of your home. So it's a good idea to softly remind people of the etiquette of both curation and drafting. But this is going to be a tone of recommendation.
I agree.
And positivity.
Yeah. And one of the reasons why I like us doing this now, this is 2023, right? It's early on, but last year, 2022, was the very, very first KubeCon, right? So we had this incredible event, and I cannot say so many thank yous to all the wonderful people that made that happen. But if you're someone that wasn't either aware of it, the fact that it happened or how it was executed, but there was a bunch of cubes that came from players in the community, right? Curators in the community. It wasn't just a bunch of stuff and a bunch of cubes that was provided by the people who put on the event. So you've got a bunch of people showing up to an event that you don't know, and you've got a cube that you are trusting to this event and trusting to the organizers and ultimately trusting the players to handle with care, right? So it's different if you've got your own play group and you're all friends, and if someone tears up one of your cards, then you can go bang on the door and ask for your money. But when you're drafting it in an environment where you don't know the people either that well or at all, we felt that it's nice to just have a little bit of a discussion about, here's some things that, you know, just do the right thing.
You know, before we go any further down this path, we're going to do the thing that we always do here at UberCube.
It's crack one.
And we're going to enjoy our crack one
what you
of
got?
This episode.
We're going to crack one today. What you got for us today?
I had this on our previous episode, and it was a Lagunitas, a little something, because I was, oh my gosh, it was delicious. Smooth and silky and wheat, all the things. I don't even know how, like, you know... It's just beautiful in a can.
I said before, and when we introduced, this is absolutely one of my favorite IPAs. I've got the same thing, the little something from Lagunitas. I love all the Lagunitas IPAs. So if you're into IPAs,
is that a San Diego?
You probably know about
it. Are they out of San Diego? I think they're California based, but this brewery, man, is something else. Check it out if you're not familiar.
Yeah, they're Petaluma, California.
Okay, nice, wonderful. Not quite Stone, but they're getting close.
That's
Stone,
right.
Stone being the it is S tier of the beer, right? Would you?
Yeah. I would agree.
So we're going to kind of let's crack it. All right, let's move on to the topic. So this is going to be the conversation. So we're kind of going to do this. We're going to break this out. It's going to be an uber short. It's going to be in the categorization of the curator do's, the curator don'ts. It's going to be the drafter or player do's.
And the drafter
don'ts.
Exactly.
And again, to prerequisite this is... purely, it's an internal conversation that we've had within our group.
Yes.
And I can see this being a useful guide to other groups as they expand and grow.
Exactly. And don't be afraid to have these conversations.
Yeah, the crucial conversations is sometimes people wish to avoid, but the truth be told is sometimes they need to be had. Mm-hmm. It happens in all fields of life. And it's good just to have a layout. Every once in a while, on rare occasions, you may have a person that steps ever so slightly outside of this courtesy thing.
Exactly.
And it's perfectly acceptable for you to say, hey, man, please don't bend my cards in half. It may seem weird that you have to confront a human being to say that, but it is a courtesy thing that can, if left unchecked, will continue.
That's right.
So it's good just to have a refresher on the do's and don'ts.
So let's start with...
topically.
Let's start with the curators, right? Because we're approaching this from two different angles. We're approaching it from the curators or the owners of the cube, and we're approaching it from the player's perspective, right? So we're going to begin positive. So we're going to start with the things that the curators should do, because we don't want to always talk about the negatives, right? Yes, right, you don't want people bending your cards, but you also want to tell people these are the things that you should do. The
positivity should always come forward. Exactly. That is your first thing. That fun should be your ultimate goal as a curator.
So this is the curator's dues. Anthony,
yes.
Lead us.
So it's going to be very bulleted, right? This is an Uber short. So you provide a brief overview of your environment so that players have a context of what they're dealing with, exactly. Right? Doesn't mean you have to give them the dissertation on world peace. But at the same time, it's good for them to know, all right, here's the general archetypes, here's what I'm looking for, so they don't walk across traps and, you know, trip lines and whatnot exactly. whilst playing your cube. And you want to make this really short and abbreviated because people don't want to sit there again listening to, frankly, a dissertation of world peace whilst I tell it, right?
Give me 10 minutes. Tell me about the
brevity.
Cube in 10
brevity,
minutes.
Brevity is important. Brevity is important, but short, poignant, just concise.
To the point. Concise, to the point. Yes.
Meat and potatoes, right? It's a good idea because players want to get to the plan. Accept the feedback of your players. This is a hard road to walk, right? And it's something that I myself have had to have learned in all walks of life, but especially in my cube environment. When someone comes to me and goes, hey, I don't feel like this card is up to snuff. Here's my reasons why. I tried it out and I've tried it on multiple occasions. Here's my information I wish to provide to you. It's hard not to, as a curator, have an emotional response to that, but it takes maturity to realize that all writers don't necessarily understand the reader and that you do need to take the reader's feedback to become a better writer.
Agreed.
It's just part of the process.
Yeah.
One of the things that these are kind of not in really a sequential order, but they're just kind of housekeeping items. Recommend bringing extra mats and supplies, right? Bring your dice mats, your tokens, bring everything that they can enjoy the experience.
Whatever you would use to play, you know, an evening of Magic the Gathering, don't sway from that because you're playing a cube, you never know.
Feel free to loan the individual that may have forgotten their mat. And it also benefits you as the curator because it protects your cards. And you can count it and take care of it. Inventorying, all that's very important. But you want to create a really welcoming experience for your drafters, right? Like, welcome to my cube. It's an attraction. I want you to come back and do this again. And so that's really important. Another one we kind of talked about, and this has been mentioned in other podcasts, so I'm not going to claim this one, but it's smart, is bring clean snacks. This is the curator's job, right? And beverages, perhaps, that remain off the table. And I don't mean dusty Cheetos and pizza and fried chicken.
Nothing greasy or stuff that's going to rub off on your fingers.
It's just smart, but you can bring something just to, you know, say, hey, thank you for drafting my cube. Here's a bag of saltine crackers.
I'm
just kidding. But
no, pizza and fried chicken. I love me some pizza.
I do. And I love me some fried chicken. But
and it's fine. If you're gonna bring something like that, be like, right, we're going to draft. Maybe we're going to have a pause between the draft or after the first round. Everybody, we're going to go and eat. Then everybody's going to wash up. And then we're going to go back and we're going to get cracking again, right? But not a great idea to, after you've drafted and while you're building your deck, don't sit there with a bucket of KFC next to your tray.
It's just kind of the way, right? That bleeds into the don't so hard.
Yeah.
Just don't enjoy a pepperoni pizza slice while you're playing the cube. It's a mutual respect thing. And it's something that, as adults, and most of us are doing this, curators, et cetera, players, we're well into the age at this point. But it is good to do these little minor housekeeping things.
Exactly. Because
we lose our way over time.
So if a player asks a question, you're a curator, Anthony, someone asks a question, what's the way to go about responding to that?
Like, why is this in here?
Yeah, why is this in here? Why do you include this card?
So you should be able to give them a reasonable explanation where you have to be able to think about it, stop, pause, think about it, try to figure out, you know, correlate your answer, try to figure out what you're talking about, and then deliver them a response. But they are allowed to counterpoint. I very much believe in problem solution oriented conversations, right? So if you're going to come to me with a problem, personally, Anthony Adams would prefer that you also provided a solution. I think that's a better outcome in terms of constructive criticism. Like, why aren't you running this? You maybe should run this instead. I can do more with that, frankly. But I don't think you should be defensive. I don't think you should turtle up. I think you should take the response, process it, and then, you know, think about it. We talked about this in our over tinkering episode with May.
Yes.
And we made the decision that maybe you don't react immediately, don't take the emotional path, ruminate on it, and see if it's a repeat offender.
It's
maybe
so hard. Something that you have, and again, that the emotional response is such a critical aspect of something that someone has put time and effort and potentially a good amount of money into, right? It's, I would say, difficult to impossible to not have an emotional response, right? But understand as a curator that your players are coming to you, and they might be coming to you and there's sort of a spectrum, right? They could be coming to you because they're super frustrated. They've just, you know, they think they've drafted a great deck and just this one card has completely hosed them. Just like I talked about this on Twitter recently. I played a game. I drafted what I thought was a really sweet reanimate deck. I played against Christian's control deck. It absolutely wiped the floor with mine in two games. I'm not going to go run into Chris and say, man, this is nonsense. You've got to take Mana Drain or Jace the Mind Sculptor or any of that kind of stuff. I could do that, right? I could have an emotional response, but I'm not, right? I'm going to have a practical response to it. He just drafted a deck that was against mine. And as a curator, you got to kind of, you know, weed those out. Like, what are the recommendations? What are the frustrations of the players, right? And understand that your players are coming to you. They could be coming to you from an emotional perspective, or they could be coming to you from a practical perspective. But they're always valid, right? All the feedback is valid.
It's a writer reader relationship, exactly. Right? So the writer has the vision, the story to tell. But what they don't know is once they release the story, it now is interpreted by the reader. The reader gets to world build from the story that the writer intended, but can skew and change the story. And that's just the communication. That's just how writing works, right? And cubes fall a lot into that storytelling aspect.
And I will say that your
drafters, curators.
Exactly. And I will say that I've been guilty at times of having very emotional responses to things. I'm an emotional guy. So when I feel like, man, I have just been completely hosed by one card, and there's no way that the deck that I built should be so hosed by this one card. Surely this is a power outlier. You know, it's not always the case, right? There's ways to interpret what your player is saying. If nothing else, you can always say, hey, you know what? It's a great idea. I'll take that into consideration. We'll see how it performs in the next few drafts. But keep an open mind.
Take the feedback, process it, think about it. Don't over tinker. Shout out to May. All right. So the next one is a curator do is to count your cards prior and post your draft. It's just good practice. It's got nothing to do with trust. It's trust in yourself as much as it trust in the others. It's good practice. Just do a speed count, move through it, see what you got, compare it to your database like KubeCobra or whatever you use, your Excel spreadsheet, and just see if it's in tune, in alignment with what you think should be in there. If you have a 540, you got a 540.
Easy way to do this, if you're drafting with 6 players, 8 players, whatever the case may be, right? Every player should have 45 cards, right? If you've drafted 3 packs of 15, just say, hey, if you guys don't mind, just keep your 45 cards in a pile, and I'll just take each one, do a quick count. 45 cards should just take a few seconds. Make sure they're all there. Drop them in. You're not calling someone out. You're not saying, hey, there's a thief in the room. Who knows what might happen?
It gets stuck to a land card. It gets
stuck underneath a playmat. You know, you're always looking at it like when I'm drafting a cube, right? I want to make sure that when you're putting that cube away, you're putting away confident that is the whole cube that you're putting away. Because I don't want you to have to put it away and then someone's like, oh man, I just found one of the cards under a playmat or under a coaster or on the floor. And then you've got to pull it out again and it's not great.
And then the next curator do that I have on here is, and this is kind of a dual purpose idea, this can be both players and curators, but control the sideboards. The sideboards do oftentimes, we've talked about this in our group, they kind of get standalone locations where they'll get pushed off to the left and a cup of coffee sitting in front of it, which is another topic we'll talk about here shortly.
Don't put them face up right underneath your line.
Yeah, so it's a good idea to just ask people if they're going to play your cube. And it's not, this is just mutual respect. People want to replay this game over and over again. This is something that brings joy to everyone. And whenever we show up at our new LGS or in whatever our game, KubeCon or whatever, it's just good practice and respect to just keep the sideboard within your proximity so that you maintain a sphere of influence of the cards, right? I mean, and keep your eye on it. Nobody wants to have one stuck to the bottom of their shoe as they walk across the floor.
Exactly.
That's just the way it is. And we've had this happen in our group.
Yes, we have.
I mean, I think it was a hazard at the Fervent that got stuck somewhere to the back of a couch that poor Chris Moore lost his mind over for a little while because he couldn't find it. It was stuck to a couch somewhere. It happens. The next one is, and we talked about this before, is ask post-game feedback. I mean, you literally want to solicit advice, and this is ask the tough questions upon yourself, like point it back at you, like, Stu, did you have fun? Did this bring you joy?
I had a blast.
Would you play this again?
Yes, I would.
What was your least favorite? What was your most
really
favorite?
Didn't like card X.
Okay,
loved card Y though.
And why might you say that? What made them your?
I felt like card X really added to the fun. I could see it was a clear part of an archetype that I was interested in drafting, you know, and this other card, I wasn't too big of a fan of. It didn't really felt like, you know, I drafted it because it looked like it was in the lane, but it really didn't add a whole lot of value. Maybe, hey, you know what might be a better choice is this card.
Yes. See, that's a good way to process feedback. And then I can actually use that as data points and then make decisions or whatever as a curator. And then take the time to look at your players' decks post the draft, right? Hey, Stu, can I see what you built here? And I'm going to fan it out. Do you mind if I take some pictures? I want to kind of remember what you did here, because there's a learning experience there. Mm-hmm. I had this happen recently with our good friend Kevin Thompson, and I don't recall the card, but he was utilizing it in a way or a line of play that I simply had never thought of. And I learned something that day. And I hate to admit stuff about our good friend Kevin, but he taught me something, because that's what he lives for.
He's a pretty dang good player.
He's pretty good. And he showed me a line of play that I just hadn't thought of.
Yes.
So there is an opportunity to learn from, like, oh man, you're running this with this, card X with card Y or whatever, and I didn't see that combo, right? It's just interesting. It's a learning opportunity. And then one of the things that I've personally picked up recently is consider having a land station. It's just wonderful. And I can share in the show notes the land station I've got. I think it's from Ultra Pro. It's absolutely amazing.
It's wonderful.
It's just a nice way of keeping everything kind of organized and in a position on the table, right? Because you don't want clutter. You don't want chaos on the table, because everybody wants to play this game again. So if stuff is everywhere,
yes,
then it becomes problematic. And that's how you're going to accidentally or intentionally lose cards. It's not something you can predict.
But no, and I it feel is what that, it is. Yeah, I feel that, like, as the curator, especially if you're doing it at your home, for example, yeah, right? You've kind of got a bit of power of authority if it's at your place, right? So you can say, hey, make sure you put your lands back in there, or, you know, you can kind of control the flow of everything from the beginning of the draft to, you know, everybody shuffling to making the packs to the draft to the play to the post play and everything getting reorganized. I feel like you've got a great opportunity, especially with newer players, to be able to sort of shape how future drafts go by saying, hey, when you're done with the deck, that's where the lands go. Make sure you put your tokens back in the token binder. And, you know, it's a great way for yourself to be able to make sure that, hey, when everything's said and done and everything's boxed up again, you've got your whole cube, all your lands, all your tokens, everything's back where it needs to be, and no issues next time you draft.
And this is not meant to be confrontational, these conversations. This is meant to be like, there are, you can set guidelines and recommendations and not rules, right? And people understand the difference. If, you know, respect is respect.
Curators make these kind of announcements. I've noticed you doing it. I've noticed Chris doing it. Whenever, you know, Chris, last night, again, we drafted his cube, and he's like, hey guys, would you mind, like, making sure you do this, or please don't do that? There's, you know, I consider myself a reasonable guy.
Yeah.
I say, absolutely, brother. Like, you are owning a large sum of money. It was a vintage cube, right?
Right.
You've got a ton of money in this cube, right? Not the necessarily the amount of financial, the amount of money that's at stake as far as the cube is concerned, but I still need to have respect for it. I don't care if it's a penny cube or if it's a powered cube. I want to have that respect for someone who's not only, you know, maybe they've invited you into their home, but they're also trusting you with their product, and that's important.
It's the time value of money at the very least, right? It's
exactly.
It's, they've put their time, they've put their effort into putting this together. It's their art. Me as a curator and as a player, I just want to respect another person's art. Emphasize that they want to show me something, I'm going to show mutual respect.
Exactly.
It's not too much to ask.
No, it's not.
And that's the crucial conversation that, unfortunately, on rare occasions, you have to have, but you can do it through very casual, nudging manners, very politely, like, please don't bend my cards. Please don't skew my cards.
Hey,
don't,
would you mind?
Would you mind? There's soft ways to do it. Would you mind? Ever so politely putting it. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, curator don'ts. We talked about this one before. It's avoid the long prelude to the game. Like, keep it short with archetypes. Any special rules? I get you have to process that, but you got to realize players are there to play the game, and it's easy to get lost, and you want to do story time. It's true. You want to give them guidance, but there's a point where it looks a lot like when CP3O is telling the story to the Ewoks and he's doing all the oot-da-beet-da, and they're like, oh,
I'm the sound effects.
And there's a point where, like, you just got to
Beta.
But you gotta kind of move through it and just get to the point. Meat and potatoes. Just keep it structured, keep it oriented, and move along. They don't need to know every line of play, because part of giving the horse and taking them to the water is you're forgetting that maybe they can lead themselves there, right? And maybe you can learn something on their lead.
I hope to be able to.
Yeah. Because
it's part of the fun.
Most people are experienced, and they're going to find things that maybe you as a curator didn't even see.
Exactly.
Right? And so that kind of leads into the next one. Don't tell the drafters what to play. And that seems obvious, right? But maybe you've got a stronger player, and you're like, oh man, you know, hey, Kevin, I really want you to draft Storm. How about maybe you should just let Kevin be Kevin and let Kevin make the choice? And then Kevin probably will, you know,
He'll find the line.
He'll probably find Storm find anyways. But you know what I mean, right? Just let them get the new ideas and express themselves within your cube environment. It's not a bad practice.
And I hope that you guys, you know, you're sort of listening to us reference people as we tend to do
in the episode.
There are friends and there are people that have, you know, their own skill sets and, you know, capabilities. I'm sure you can sit there if you're a curator, especially, and you've got, or, you know, if you're a player, curator, whatever, you've got a play group. You know, the people that are experienced, you know, the super strong, super experienced players and maybe the newer players. So it should be fairly easy for you to sort of correlate what we're talking about.
And the next curator don't is ignore feedback and advice.
Yes.
You should just take a note. It doesn't mean you have to go make the change right away. It just means that you should listen.
Yes.
You know, listening and interpreting information is very important.
I agree.
And it's back to that mutual respect and communication exchange, right? Stu's come to me on many occasions and says, why aren't you running this in your Power Vintage environment? And at first I may have skirted him off and said, you know, because. And then he'll come back and go, here's my why. And he'll explain it to me. And he understands that he doesn't want to offend me, doesn't want to overstep, but he wants me to understand his point of view. And then once I see it as that way, it's non-threatening, then I'm responsive to the change.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's just kind of how you do it. It's almost a polite exchange. The next one is don't ever challenge your drafters. Lines of plays or their game decisions. Don't call them out loud across the table. That seems dumb, but I'm not gonna lie. I have on occasions broken this.
Save that for Commander.
I have. It's a Commander thing. Like, why?
It's a Commander thing. Why are you doing
that? It's very Commander because you do get in this, you know, group of four, and it's very political and talking. But when this 1v1 thing's happening, just kind of let people do their thing and enjoy their game.
Yes.
And then positive feedback, sure. Like, oh man, that's awesome. I can't believe you just did that. But you really, other than that, just don't call them out. So now we're gonna move over to. Stu is the player. I am the curator. So we're trying to get Stu to become. We're going to swap these roles eventually. We're working on Stu here.
It's happening.
Okay. It is. It's happening. In progress.
It's happening. Don't you worry about it. I've got it all laid out. Okay, so we're going to first of all cover the drafter do's. First of all, be open-minded. Have fun, right? The most important thing to remember, you're doing this for fun. Even if you've got, you know, a dollar or a booster pack on the line for whoever goes 3-0 or 4-0, whatever the case may be, the whole purpose of playing Cube, the whole purpose of playing Magic, unless you're playing competitively at a Pro Tour or a Grand Prix or something, is to have fun. Make sure that if you're drafting someone's Cube, do it for the purpose of just having fun. I understand that the competitive mindset, I certainly have one myself. I like to be competitive, but it's not the be-all and end-all, and primarily, I want to have fun. That's really the reason why I play Magic.
That's why we build the Cube, and that's why you play the
Cube.
Exactly. And if you're doing it, I mean, we've talked about this a dozen times, right? Fun is highly subjective. I get it. We're not going to try to tell you to tailor your fun to my fun, but just enjoy yourself. That's all I ask, and then that's what all Stu is going to do.
Exactly. So next point, ask questions prior to the draft. This is particularly relevant, I would say, to a newer cube, maybe a cube that you're not familiar with. Like, hey, this is pretty cool. Like, what kind of archetypes do you support? You know, whatever the case may be, ask questions before the draft, right? There may be a ton of unknowns. Just communicate with the person who is the curator of the cube that you're drafting. And I will say categorically, whenever I've drafted someone's cube and I've asked questions about the cube that I'm about to draft, that curator is more than happy to just keep talking and keep talking and telling me about
the
cube.
And then you got to tell them to abbreviate it.
Then you got to tell them to, all right, this has been 25 minutes. I want to start drafting. Right, but don't be afraid to ask questions.
Yeah.
The curators are going to be more than happy to tell you about the cube and the archetypes, all that kind of stuff. I don't want to say it's dangerous, but it's definitely nice as a player to be able to go in with some amount of knowledge. Don't be shy. I know it can be difficult sometimes to talk to people and ask questions, but just, you know, ask questions. The curators are going to be happy to answer you.
Absolutely. I agree. 100%.
Ask about the archetypes in the cube of the curator, right? What is... It could potentially be the most powerful. It could also potentially be the most difficult. It could potentially be the most linear. It could be the most fragile. It could be the most difficult to draft due to either card density or the lack thereof. This is definitely sort of tied in with the ask questions prior to the draft, but this is all information about the cube, right? That you kind of want to get a little bit of ideas about beforehand. I'm definitely you know, I'm not afraid to go in and blind draft a cube. Like, I've never seen this cube, no idea what the lists are, but sure, whatever, I'll give it a try. But it's really nice to be able to go in there. And again, the curator is going to love to answer these questions. Tell me more about the cube. Tell me about the archetypes. Is that a difficult one to draft? Is that a complex one? Are there combos involved? All that kind of stuff. Ask those questions. The curators are always going to be happy to answer those questions.
And that's pre and post draft. And they just, people are excited to express their art. And if it kind of gives you some guidance as to what maybe Taylor makes to the type of personnel you have, maybe you sway towards this type of archetype. I personally enjoy stacks and aristocrats, so I gravitate towards that in cubes. So if they have it, I'm interested and I want to learn more about it so I can go through it and try to you know, play that line of play. The next one is, I'll cover this one as a curator because I wrote this note up here, but it's help clean up and putting stuff away. And this is the question mark, if the curator permits. And because you do have some people, you have to understand, don't be offended by it. Don't overthink it. It's a system that maybe they have in place, maybe a counting mechanism or some personal style that they have that like, they go, no, I'll just put it away. It's got nothing to do with you so much as they just have a mechanism in which to get a good count and ensure that all the cards make their way home, right? So offer to help them clean up, but then again, don't have a response if they say, I'd rather you not.
Yeah, the curator may very well have a system for all of the clear up.
Me personally, yeah, I'm like, please go ahead and clean it up for me, put it all away, pack it up. I don't care. Could you put it in my car too, please, and drive it home? That'd be great. But I get it when others don't necessarily want to prescribe to that idea. So it's a good do is to at least ask. It shows courtesy, right?
Agreed. All right, so separating basic lands, right? Unless you've been very, very fortunate with your draft and you've got like 23 playables and 17 non-basics that you've been able to draft, you're probably going to have some combination of basic lands. Once you've, you know, completed the draft, played all the games, I think it's such a nice common courtesy, right? Separate all the basic lands out. If there is a land station, as Anthony mentioned earlier, make sure to check with the curator and they're cool with you just putting everything back. And then you've got just your deck, right? I would, again, go back, take a picture, if not just for you, but also for the curator as well. Take a picture. You know, post it to the socials. Let's see, give us a tag in it. Let's see what you drafted and what the cube was.
And I also would like to point out, I pulled out two mountains and a forest out of my main power cube today.
Yikes.
Yeah, so
I don't play green or red decks.
Yeah, so whoever drafted my cube last, it was gruel. We're going to have a conversation. It does happen. It's just whenever you're breaking up your deck and you're putting it away, you're kind of, you know, you're doing this kind of in the front of the curator. Out of respect, yes. It's just a respectful thing. And it's got nothing to do with the monetary aspect. It's got to do with a penny is the same as $1,000 here. It means a lot to the artist, exactly. Right? So treat it with a mutual respect and separate it in front of them. I'm not saying to scrutinize them, but you know, just do your thing. Like we have a trust circle in our group. We've got good peeps, right? But it's just break it out, get your lands out. Like Stu said, put them back in the land station so the curator can go, yep, I got 40 forests. I got 40 mountains. Because that's what they had when they came here and they know, and then they don't have to worry about it, you know, slipping its way into the main cube, which, you know, again, I found.
Or the next draft.
Yeah, I found the two. I found the gruel players in trouble in my group because that person, yeah, and it wasn't me. So yeah, it just kind of happens, which segues over to our next portion. Would you mind taking over this one here, please?
Yeah, control your card pools, right? And I would say, I would expand, it's not just your cards, not just your main deck and your sideboard. It's kind of everything, right? It's your cards, it's your drink, it's your dice, it's maybe some tokens. And you know what? Me as a player, if I've got a deck and I know there's a couple of tokens, again, I drafted this reanimate deck. I actually needed a 1/1 construct. I needed a germ token. I will take those with me. But you're darn sure, as soon as that draft ended, I went straight over, or as you know, as I was reorganizing back over to the token station or the binder. Make sure the germ is put back. Make sure the construct is put back where it needs to. And whenever you're moving around, just make sure that you've got all of your stuff with you and there's no, you know, chance of you like leaving stuff around. It can be quite disruptive. Keep your playmat clear and organized, I think is a pretty important one, because you're not playing an EDH game where everyone's, you know, got different color sleeves and all that kind of stuff. Most of the time, the cube's going to be in all the same sleeves, right? Unless it's some crazy chess cube, black and white.
Yeah,
like
I'm working on sales.
I know. But just make sure that you're keeping your playmat clear. It just makes for a more flow with the games. You want to make sure that you're playing your games in a timely manner and you're not spending all the time like shifting your sideboard off or, you know, wiping up some spill or something like that. It just helps keep
just being organized and tidy is just a good way. So now let's move over to the downtrodden, right? The drafters, don'ts.
Again.
And recommendations.
These are recommendations. Yeah, we're not trying to call anybody
except
out.
Except for the first one. I'm going to call out the first one. I'm not going to say when and where, but I saw this happen. And it did.
I know when you're talking about.
We're not going to talk about it. We're not going to. We were there. And I probably should have interceded. And I feel guilt for not. Do not bridge shuffle or rough shuffle someone else's cube.
No.
It was beating the heck out of these cards. And I'm talking about like a hard poker shuffle.
Yeah.
I mean, full bridge. I mean, the arc on these things was literally like a bell curve.
And Magic cards are pretty pliable, right? They are designed to take a little bit of punishment. But
the
still,
inner sleeves have cost associated. But I did witness this, and it still bugs me that I didn't say something.
I would agree with that.
But I wanted to be non-confrontational. But bridge shuffling and rough shuffling, it's just something that, and you know what? Don't get offended if, and this is the drafters, if the curator says, man, shuffle for you, because we've had some people in our group that are, I had one good friend of mine. He's a sleeve breaker, like nobody's business. He's no longer with us. He's out traveling in another part of the world, but man, goodness gracious, Dragon Shields did not stand a chance against this fool, cutting them to pieces. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've went through like five different sleeves. I've never done that before with you guys. But yeah, it's just rough shuffling, man. Just there's different styles of shuffling. You can, and I don't know all the names of them, but you can lay them out, or you can slowly stack shuffle them and let them feed in each other. You can even lightly bridge shuffle, but don't bridge back. But you know, the one-sided bridge where you let them fold in, but ask the curator what their preference is. Because that is something where some of these cards, we weren't going to talk about monetary, but let's pretend for a moment you had a Black Lotus, right?
I'm a Paul Shuffler, so treat it
respectfully, right?
Yes, you've got to be so respectful.
I would treat it like I would be wearing rabbit fur gloves, have my mask, but you get what I'm saying, right? Treat it with the respect that it deserves, and at the very least, even if it's a penny, it's just showing the respect of the artist.
It's someone's time and effort and all of that they've put into this cube.
Yeah, bridge shuffling is like the one call out that I agree. That's a harsh one.
I never
one.
Do that. I never.
And it kind of leads in the next one. But I'll let Stu take this one on.
Yeah, don't. When you've drawn a card and you're like, maybe you're top decking and you're like, I just want to just take a quick peek at this. Do not, don't drag it across the playmat and then like bend up like a third of the card to look at, you know, the name or whatever it is. Like, I suppose we kind of sum it up. Really try not to bend the cards at all. It's not very good practice. And even I'm comfortable doing it with my cards because most of my cards are fairly inexpensive. But even if I do this, and I do this with my dual lands, I've done this with a Bayou to someone who absolutely lost their mind. We're like, how dare you treat a card like that? It was you. but I wouldn't do that to anyone else's card, right? I want to make sure that I'm preserving the integrity. Some cards might be 25 cents. Some cards might be 5 cents. Some cards could be hundreds of dollars. And you just want to make sure that you're treating every card, treat it like it's a $20,000 investment on their part.
Yeah, Popper Cuba, treat it like it's $1 million. I mean, because it's someone else's art.
A million now, not even 20,000. Not like even 20,000.
We're now 2023.
That's right.
Inflation. But so it just isn't poker. You're not on ESPN. You're not wearing the dark sunglasses.
Yeah, you're not.
Don't
Daniel
tip
LeBron
it up and then, you know, place your bets on the table. I get that. I'm a poker player too. But just pull them out and look at them and just treat them the respect they earn. That's an ask. That's exactly. These are all, by the way, these don'ts are ask.
Yes.
I guess we should treat them that way.
You
right?
should, yeah, ask your players. Like, hey, would
pretty
you mind
please
just,
don't destroy my cards.
Yeah, like, hey, could you, would you mind not shuffling like that? Like, look, I'm just,
it's fair.
I'm particular about my cards, and also I don't want to have to, you know, replace any more.
I don't have to buy a new Black Lotus tomorrow.
Yep.
So that comes with the next one here. Would you mind taking this one on, please?
Yeah. So the next one is ensure your cards are facing the same direction.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing worse.
I might have written
this
script.
Yeah. Like, and I have done it to my own commander decks when maybe, you know, I've not been paying much attention. And I look and I'm like, shoot, I've got half the cards facing one way and half the cards facing the other way. It can damage the sleeves and it just makes it a real pain in the butt, especially if you put the cards back that way. It's a bit of a nightmare for you know, reorganizing. So just try and make sure that your cards are in the same direction.
Yeah, we normally announce like which side when we're drafting, which side is top. And they'll say like, this is the face up. And we'll literally orient all the piles to the face up position so everybody knows who they're pointing at, right? And that's how we'll do our draft and our card choices.
Yeah.
It's just a clean way of, and it does, even Dragon Shields or any Ultra Pros or whatever, they just cannot take when another one basically slides into another one on the opposing direction. It cuts them like razors. and tears them up, and it can inadvertently damage the card.
Yeah.
So that's a thing. The next one, Stu.
All right. So I'm going to go through these next couple kind of quickly because we kind of talked a little bit about it. Open beverages, right? Be super careful with your drinks. Obviously, you know, your curator might say, look, this is like a $30,000 vintage power cube. I really just don't want any drinks on the table at all. Okay, fair enough. Maybe you got a space behind you. Maybe you just don't have a drink on the table. Whatever the case may be, you know, just be mindful of you know, what your curator, what the cube owner wants. And the second one, this actually came up recently, is if you're drafting a cube and then you're thinking, okay, we're going to finish drafting this cube and then we're going to play an EDH game or, you know, some other format right afterwards, just wait a few minutes until all the cube cards and all the cube resources have been policed up and put away, and then get the EDH game on the go. Get your decks out. It's very, very easy for cards to get mixed in, and suddenly you're like arranging your deck, arranging your tokens, and one of the cards from a cube gets shuffled into someone's commander deck. Heaven forbid it's the same color sleeve and it's like some super obscure card that they or deck that they don't play very often, and suddenly the curator is like, well, darn it, I had a Lion's Eye Diamond in this cube like 2 weeks ago and now it's gone. And then 4 years later, you know, someone's like, oh man, I did not have a Lion's Eye Diamond in this deck. I wonder where this came from. I never play this deck. What on earth happened, you know?
And it's because a lot of times, like, so black being the most, or jet being the most predominant sleeves in our group, and we do have different, our EDH players have all kinds of, just a entire gamut of colors that they run with their EDH, but there's the occasional where one person will have a jet black matte sleeve, and it does match, and it does come out on the table. And, you know, our players in our group are, we're all friends, so we're super receptive to it. But, you know, we have to say, hey, let Chris put away his powered vintage cube.
Yes.
It's also jet matte black before you take out your two EDH cubes, just because the blending can happen, and it's unfortunate. So,
okay, and last but not least of the draft of don'ts, we talked a little bit about the feedback. If you're going to provide feedback to a curator about their cube and about a card or whatever, don't do it without a good point. Don't go to them and say, this card is just nonsense. This is crap. This is garbage. Why have you got this in there? I hate that you've got this card in your cube. Don't just criticize their choices. Don't criticize anything about the cube without some kind of constructive idea to go along with it, right? So Anthony actually has talked about this a few times. I had some feedback for his vintage cube. This is going back probably a couple of years now. And I said, look, there's some creatures in this cube that I really don't think belong in your vintage cube. Not only am I going to give you a reason why I don't think they belong in there, I'm actually going to give you an alternative. Now, you may not be experienced enough as a player to say, I have, you know, an alternative for this, because there could be, it could be archetype dependent, but at least have a reason why. Like, hey, you know what? I don't think this creature belongs in there. Maybe it just does something that isn't relevant to other creature types that are in the cube. Like, hey, it enters the battlefield and kills a goblin, and there's no goblins in the cube, like we talked about in one of our previous episodes.
It will, though. It will.
But that's something that's constructive. But at least, again, be respectful about the feedback and always make sure that the criticism or the feedback is constructive. And it comes in a way that I always give the feedback in a way that I want to be so supportive of this cube. And I love, you know, Anthony has a bunch of cubes, and every time we draft, we talk about it afterwards. I like to talk about, here's the cards that I felt were just amazing. Here's maybe even cards that overperformed. Here's cards that underperformed, right? And understand, you are one person. You don't know everything, right? You didn't design the cube. You're not the god of Magic the Gathering. And you know, the curator is going to listen to your feedback. Maybe they don't take notice of it. Maybe they don't make those changes that you've recommended. Maybe they do. But just, again, always make sure that you're doing it with respect, doing it maybe with a constructive idea in mind. It's going to go a long way after a draft.
Yeah. So, like, to kind of tie that conversation off, as a curator, when I receive player feedback, I benchmark it. And we talked about this, the adage, if someone calls you a horse once, okay, whatever. Someone calls you a horse twice, nah, whatever. But if someone calls you a horse three times, you might be a horse.
I like the Lorax line.
Yeah.
If a guy does something stupid once, well, it's because he's a guy. And if a guy does something stupid twice, it's probably because of a girl.
Yeah. So it's a learning curve, right? So feedback is really important in the cube environment, but you do have to process it and just don't react to it as a curator. But what we wanted out of this episode, what we wish to discuss, was a good housekeeping. This community is growing rapidly. As we talked about before, it's growing into LGSs. Curators are booming now. People are listening to different shows and learning more and coming into the fold of Cube, right? So it's a good idea to just kind of give them a little bit of, you know, some notes they can reference. Like, maybe it's a good idea to do some control of my sideboards and my groups. Maybe I should ask my players to separate the lands from their main decks whenever we're breaking it down. Maybe it's a good idea to count before and after I start doing a draft. It's got nothing to do with trust, but so much as you just want to make sure that your cube comes home safely.
And right? Maybe you're, you know, I'll equate it to the group that we have. Maybe you're a, you know, you're a Chris Moore or an Anthony. You've been playing for a very, very long time. You've got an extensive collection of very, very expensive Magic cards. And then you've got, and you're playing a cube draft with someone like myself a few years ago, who's like, I don't really know you guys too well. I'd like to play this cube, but I don't really know you guys that well. So maybe I'm not, well, I'm certainly not as emotionally or financially. I'm not even remotely emotionally or financially invested, but I'm fun invested. I want to be fun invested. I want to enjoy this cube. You know, have these two-way conversations and this two-way communication and feedback, both from the curator and to the player. They're so critical. You want to make sure that everybody is enjoying it, respectfully, having fun, and that, you know, you're growing everything, either your experience as a player or your cubes as a curator.
Yeah, we're here at UberCube. We love this community. And we just wanted to grow and thrive. It's incredible. And just good practices are good practices. Yes. You can call a spade, right? And just taking care of our cubes.
I've been called out. I don't know anyone that hasn't.
It's a very village type idea. Concept, it has to be. And so your play group is part of your curation team.
Agreed.
They want to play the game again. Well, you got to have the pieces to play the game.
Exactly.
And other than that, this was just maybe a little bit of a heavy conversation. I think it was. But the things that needed to be said, I feel were said.
I agree.
And it's only so jovial, but you gotta have groundwork. Fundamentals are in place. Good housekeeping's good housekeeping.
I agree.
I'll call it Frank, right?
I agree.
Other than that, Stu, would you mind taking us away to the socials?
First of all, if you want to support the show, please use our Inked Gaming affiliate link. You can check it out on the Discord. We have it on the Twitters. If you want to check out some placemats, dice bags, mouse pads, all kind of custom products, pretty cool stuff. Go check it out. All right. So if you want to find us on Twitter, where we've got all kinds of cool conversations going with people in the Cube community and, you know, in the Magic community in general, reach out to us. We are at UberCubeMTGPod. You can reach out to us via email if you've got questions about an episode or about cards or about your cube or about one of our cubes or about one of our episodes. We'd love to hear from you, and we're more than happy to reach out and get a conversation going. Give us a call. We are at UberCubeMTGPodcast@gmail.com. And again, the Discord, we got tons of people in there. We'd love to grow it even more and more and more to just, again, keep the conversation about Cube going and to keep the community growing. It's like Anthony said, it's an ever-growing community. The people in it are just incredible. We met so many wonderful people on social media and live at KubeCon, and we just can't wait to keep interacting and providing content for you even more. Anthony, what about Patreon? How's that going? I make this fun because Anthony's like, I'm going to put some effort into this. But hey, I got to give a shout out to this, right? Because this is a bit of a, you know, a bit of a sobering episode, if you will, right? Because we do some meta episodes and we do archetype episodes. And maybe sometime you got to be the blue player. Maybe this is the blue player episode.
Well,
right?
I have where something kinda, interesting to add to this. You got to be
the, this is kind of a I don't like, you know, you're the blue player, you're the fun police, and we're trying to be a bit of cube police kind of here.
Yeah.
You know, where we're trying to give some good practices to both the curators and the players. And, you know, we got to keep lights on, right? And I've got a light that doesn't work in my bathroom. Tell him about that.
He does. He's got a failed ballast. It is holding energy after the light switch goes off. But so we have something that I'm holding in my pocket for now. We have a announcement coming soon, but integrated into our Patreon soon will be said announcement and others, right? But I'm going to keep that right there. It's a little, just put that little brain worm in everybody. We got a super big
little teaser.
Yeah, little teaser. It's coming this path. But yeah, our Patreon is a good way of keeping the lights on, and so that Stu can actually afford to change his light bulbs out in the bathroom, which is super weird. I can't
afford that.
Yeah, no, you can't. But other than that, this has been a fun, as Stu said, sobering episode, little crucial conversation. I get it. Nobody wants to do the thing. Like, please don't bridge shuffle my cards or others.
And maybe just
but as a community, it's good practice for us to look out for each other.
Don't be afraid to have these conversations. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to tell your drafters this. Conversations are real. Yeah.
Other than that, we're going to say the thing that we always do here at UberCube is happy cubing.